Blog Talk Radio.
The horseshoe always comes first, and I think one thing that he's always known, because he's been around it so long, is you keep it in the family. You know, you keep it. If you got a problem, you talk to each other. It's not about campaigning or anything like that.
You want to talk back? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy sports and politics. Fantasy sports and politics. Fantasy sports and politics. Fantasy sports.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Fantasy Sports and Politics. It's me, it's your boy FSP. That was Jim Irsay at the top of the show telling Peyton Manning, mind your manners, boy. Don't you know I'm the horseshoe ringleader for keeping in the family? Just before we went on air, my co-host Jerry, I had to do a Jim Irsay to him. He's Peyton Manning, I had to do a Jim Irsay. Ain't that right? Ain't that right, Peyton? I mean, a.k.a. JT Money.
What can I tell you? You know, I'm getting pretty nervous here. Next one to go is me. And I'm just afraid of the future. I have no idea where I'm going to go.
Well, don't worry. I'm going to see you down to D.C. or Miami, you know, because I'm a rhinestone cowboy down in Indianapolis. Anyway... Ladies and gentlemen, this is Fantasy Sports and Politics. We're poking a little fun at Jim Irsay. I pushed this show out to him via Twitter. Maybe he'll listen and call in or whatever the case may be, because we're going to talk about him a lot, as well as the Indianapolis Colts. But on today's episode of FSP, we will cover the NFL Super Bowl. Next week, it's happening. This week, Pro Bowl, as well as this North versus West College Bowl.
No.
We'll talk about who's going to win it and how. You said no.
Yeah, you said North versus West. It's not North versus West.
It's, which one is it?
East versus West. I think it's East
or North versus
West.
South. I thought it was North versus South. Okay.
Yeah,
we'll talk about one of them games.
Whatever. We're all screwed up.
We'll talk about one of them games.
And
the reason why, because
we just started and we all screwed up.
It's all right. It's all right. I'm getting rid of your physical therapist so you can go right out the door with him. But the reason why I want to talk about it is because Kyle Shanahan's down there, and he's been looking at Brandon Whedon, and he apparently likes Brandon Whedon a lot. So we'll talk about that. What Bill Belichick has to say about the Bucks head coach hiring. Yes, Bill Belichick had something to say about the Bucks hiring his buddy out of Rutgers. Okay. Also, we're going to talk about Peyton Manning versus Jim Irsay. Is it coming to a head? And guess who's back? Back again. He has stripes. He was married to Lindgren, whatever her name was, Black's lover. Tiger Woods, y'all. He's back on top of the leaderboard in the Dubai Classic. Okay. So we'll hear from Tiger as well. We'll also talk a little bit about baseball, who has the best team on paper, and who will win the World Series. I just watched Moneyball, the story of Billy Beane and the Oakland A's last Saturday with my wife, and it was a very good movie. And although it hasn't worked out that well for the Oakland A's, it's a good formula, and it can work. They just got to find a way to keep the talent. So we'll talk about the baseball a little bit. Also, Kyle Williams. Now, if you don't know who Kyle Williams is, he's a young man that's the punt returner for the San Francisco 49ers. And he's got a lot going on with him. But we'll talk about him. Did he give the Giants a golden ticket to the Super Bowl? And is it right now, people on Twitter attacking him? Is it right for the people to be attacking him on Twitter? We'll talk about that. We got a lot in store, Jerry, and I see a 302 number. Yeah, we got a 302 number, so I know it's from Delaware. So I think it's my boy Mo. It's either one of him or Mike Knox. We'll see who it is.
Is this probably call Mo?
From the caller from the 302. Welcome to Fantasy Sports Politics. Please state your name.
What's going on with your voice, man? You all right?
Yeah, dude. I'm losing it. I'm Jim Irsay. I'm wearing my nice suit.
A little raspy there. Like, you know, like, okay. How you guys doing?
We're doing good. We're doing good, Big Pimpin.
Doing well.
And I know you want to play some bets with Jerry, so I'll let y'all talk about that as well.
I done lost all year long. I've lost like every ticket I had. I done lost like $4,000 on one game. And then this fool going ahead and drop a daggone fumble. You fool. You're gonna give a game away. And then another fool is going to like miss a field goal. It's supposed to be the Harbaugh Brothers Super Bowl. I'm just hurt and I lost my money and I'm gonna cry about it a little bit.
I don't blame you, my man. I don't blame you. There's some stuff I want to rant about, and I just can't wait till we get to whatever we're going to get to so I can rant on whatever I want to rant about. Trust me. I want to rant. The whole big.
Okay.
Big
all right. You can rant. You can rant, but first let me do a little business here. If you want to call in, and I see a couple people in the chat room, so I thank you for listening in. If you want to call in and state your claim, what your rant is, you can dial 347-637-3220. Again, that number is 347-637-3220. It is not toll-free. I apologize. We haven't gotten to that point yet. Money's kind of tight, but we might do something real soon. Or you can go to our chat room. Chat room's always open. Jim Irsay. I'm going to say it like that. Jim Irsay. That's who I am. I'm Jim Irsay. And Jerry's Peyton Manning. And Mo, you get to be Dwight Freeney.
Why?
Because I believe Dwight Freeney. Because Dwight Freeney said something earlier this week, and if you don't know what I'm talking about, we can talk about that too. But first, let's get to the Kyle Williams thing. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I too thought and felt it should have been a Harbaugh Brothers Super Bowl. I really, really did. I think the two second best teams out of each conference are playing in the Super Bowl, but that's why they play the game. Okay, anything can happen. So Kyle Williams is number 10. I believe this is his first year or his second year in the league.
He's a rookie.
And they cut Braylon Edwards. San Fran cut Braylon Edwards to make sure they had room on the roster for this guy. Okay? This guy came in real strong towards the playoffs, so they decided to get rid of the veteran who has a penchant for dropping some balls but makes big plays and stick Kyle back there. My question is, why the hell didn't they put Ted Ginn Jr. back there? Why wasn't Ted Ginn Jr. returning
hurt.
Kicks?
He was hurt. He had a hamstring.
Oh, he was hurt?
Yeah.
Oh, see, I don't follow the San Francisco 49ers like that. But, hey, it is what it is. Okay.
Well, a couple of our friends play for the 49ers, man. I feel now you got Navarro out there, Madu Williams out there, my boy Madu, and then of course VD Vernon Davis. That's all PG football. That's DC football right there, man. They had to show up. We had three DC players getting ready to go to the Super Bowl and let a fool fumble. You're gonna just take that away.
Wait a minute. Before you rant, let's get to the meat of it, and I'm gonna let you rant. With the advent of multimedia and push media and social media issues. Nowadays, if you're on Twitter or Facebook or whatever, you get instant responses to what you do. Instant. Some tweets were, you know, I forgot who it was from, but they posted the guy's real name on Inside the NFL. It said, Jim Harbaugh, I hope you give Kyle Williams the game ball, and when he gets to his car, hope it explodes. Some people said, yes. Some people said, I can't remember one exact quote, but it was on the lines of, tell him to go hang himself.
Yeah, he received some death threats after the game.
Correct.
Well, he's lucky he wasn't soccer because he would be dead.
This is true. But
we live in Venezuela, it's over with.
But no, I mean, it's a serious thing because some people might be getting to that point. Because remember, early in the season, some San Francisco fans hurt some Raider fans. They stabbed them or they shot them or something like that in the parking lot over the game. So, I mean, we got to think about this here. It was what he did that bad. I got it. People like Maurice lost a couple $1,000, whatever the case may be, on this game. But is it worth it, Maurice? I'm going to let you rant, and then Jerry, since I know you're going to have a big rant, I'm going to let you go second. Talk to
me. I'm going to take actually a logical approach to this and not really just rant. For the seriousness of it, first of all, these guys get paid to do this. It's their profession. And, you know, no one comes in our jobs and sticks foot in our butts, you know, for what we do. I mean, you know, it's his job. He made a mistake. Mistakes happen. And he made two costly mistakes, but he's a rookie. And to be honest with you, that's the call from San Francisco's front office. You know, want to get rid of Braylon Edwards for a rookie, then these are the kind of consequences, in the playoffs too, these are the kind of consequences that you may subject yourself to for what happened. Now, does the young man deserve death threats? No. It's football, people. Does the young man deserve to be, like, called, you know, names? You know what? You drop a fumble, you're a multimillionaire, you're professional. Some folks are going to call you names. They're going to call you
out. Well,
he's not
a millionaire. He's not a millionaire. He's a rookie. He don't got much
money.
He's a
rookie.
But
well,
I got what you're saying.
Oh, that's right. He came from the practice squad, right? So, I mean, that's like, you know, you still make $80,000 a year, you know, for working 3 days a week. You know, remember, I used to be, you know, professionally a part of this business. I understand the stress and pressures from it, and I was just kidding earlier. Yeah, I really wish it could have been, you know, the Harborough brothers, and I really wanted Madu to have an opportunity to go to the Super Bowl because he's in the later part of his career. But to take it to that extremity to where people want to kill him and, you know, say your car should blow up and things of that matter, it's absurd. I mean, come on, people. You know, there's more serious things going on in the world. You're in the Army, for God's sakes. You know there's more serious things going on in the world than freaking football.
Can't bring that up, dude. Just my personal show.
Oh, sorry. But I'm saying, you know, as a former military person myself, there's more important things going on in the world than football. I mean, I lost some money. That's me as an adult gambling. That's what gambling is. Either I'm going to make money or lose money, but I made that decision on my own. No one twisted my arm and told me to go down to Dover Downs and place a bet. So am I upset about it a little bit? I was hurt. I'm more hurt over the Ravens. But I didn't know it was that serious, you know, so I'm going to change my tune on that. I didn't know it was that serious.
All right. The floor is yours, ATM.
All right. In this game, first of all, I understand he's a rookie, but it's not the first time he's been back in the backfield catching punts or whatever. The first one, I don't know what he was thinking. It was obvious he had touched the freaking football with his knee, and all of a sudden he backs away and it looks like he's completely lost and doesn't know what to do. I have no idea what the heck he was thinking when he did that, first of all. Second of all, going into overtime, a coach needs to go over to this young man, knowing that what happened earlier in the game and cost that team some points, that if you get a punt or whatever, just catch the ball. Do not attempt to do anything else but just catch the ball. Because we need the possessions. We don't need you to take a chance. Just catch the freaking ball. What happens? He catches the ball. He starts running with it like it's
a loaf of bread.
Exact. Thank you. And quite naturally, he gets knocked out and puts the Giants in a perfect position. He gave the Giants an opportunity for 10 points. Take away those 10 points, the Giants don't even come close to winning this game.
Correct.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable that no coach went to this guy before overtime and said, if you get an opportunity to catch the ball in a punt, just
catch, just feel the ball. If you can't feel it cleanly, get the hell away from it. Don't even come close to it. That's the two choices you have. Catch the ball. Don't run with it. Just catch the ball. And then if you can't feel it, get the hell away. So I besides the player who gets professionally paid for that, I fault the San Francisco 49ers coaching staff for not telling this rookie in high-pressure situation that what they wanted him to do. I'm completely taken aback. I don't like either one of these teams going into the Super Bowl. I'm almost tempted to protest the freaking Super Bowl and not even watch it.
But you don't get to read the commercials.
Excuse me?
I don't get to see those commercials anyway, so I won't be missing that.
You can't miss the Dorito commercials.
And let me tell you something. When you get to the Baltimore Ravens game, I have an even bigger rant because I have an even bigger problem with the coaching staff and how that game was played out.
Well, I'm going to talk about that, too, because I have an issue with it, too. But here's the deal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Kyle Williams. I feel for the kid. I really do, because I've never been in that spotlight moment. You know, only time I've been in a situation like that, and we just lost Mo, is when I played semi-pro football, and I was a quarterback. Now, I'm only 5'10". I'm like 5'9", 3/4". I'm starting to shrink. I'm getting older.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the first time ever playing organized football as a quarterback.
Okay.
I've always been a receiver or a cornerback or something like that. But I can throw
okay.
the ball and stuff like that. But the first game came up, and the very first play, I threw an interception because I looked exactly who I was going to throw the ball to, and to top it off, I got crushed in the sternum. It was a late hit, so therefore, you know, we got the ball back. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, after I got back my wits and whatnot, after a series or two, I got back under center, and all the lights were on me. Now, second game, I mean, we won that game. I threw a touchdown in that game. And it was a pretty good game for us. Hard-fought game, and we won. Second game, I just unraveled because the team just blitzed the hell out of us, and I was ducking and dodging and flipping, and so I threw like 4 or 5 interceptions. I was like blaming my receivers for not knowing the signals and this, that, and the third. I mean, I got a concussion. I tore my rotator cuff.
Ooh.
I twisted my ankle all in one game, and I finished the game, though. I finished the game. The problem or the parallel that I'm making is that no matter how bad I was because I was getting killed out there, I didn't stop and I didn't give up and I didn't quit. You know, and Williams did not give up or quit. He made some poor decisions, and unfortunately, the entire 49er organization had to suffer it because of it. Now, I'm not saying Braylon Edwards could have been the big difference maker because, you know, the San Francisco 49ers secondary, they gave up some big plays too. They gave up some big plays in key situations. What I would say, though, is that had Braylon Edwards been there, I think that maybe the field could have been stretched a little bit more.
No.
Maybe Alex Smith could have used him being there, and maybe it wouldn't have been just a, the inconvenient truth all the time.
Well, that's the only reason that it was Frank Gore or two options Alex Smith had. Frank Gore or Vernon Davis. Michael Crabtree couldn't get any kind of separation from any coverage, and Kyle Williams had the same issue. Kyle Williams, if I'm not mistaken, is a quicker player than Braylon Edwards. Quite naturally, he's a rookie, so he's not experienced as Braylon Edwards. But I think they needed Kyle Williams, Braylon Edwards was very injury prone this year.
and inconsistent on the field. One pass was completed to a wide receiver in that game. One
pass. I know.
One
I know.
Pass. I don't know if Braylon Edwards would have made a difference because they were shutting down the pass by the pass rush for one. So Alex Smith didn't have too much time trying to pass the ball to a wide receiver, especially when the wide receivers couldn't get any separation. The only one was doing that was Vernon Davis. So, and that's why Vernon Davis made the plays that he made, because he was the only one to be able to get any kind of separation from anyone. I have to fault the – I have to. I mean, I understand the player is out there playing, but just like your coach, when you get your first start, prepped you mm-hmm. for your first start, you get a guy in a playoff situation that the coaches are supposed to prep you for those type of situations. They can't play it for you, but they can enlighten you on what you to expect just before you go out there. Quite naturally, they do it during prep week, during practice or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But when the game day is on the line, you get more butterflies than you do during the week. So your coach – it's your position coach or whoever, your special teams coach or whoever, especially you're the man that's catching the ball, whatever situation it is, your coach is should be saying something to you about the situation. Plain and simple, before you go out there. The last one in overtime, there's no excuse for the player doing what he did, and I don't even know if the coach told him, just catch the ball. Don't make any moves. Don't do anything. Just make sure you catch the ball. I don't know exactly what he told to him, but I couldn't believe
it didn't work.
Yeah, no, I can't believe it. I mean, I understand he's a rookie. I understand that's a high pressure. I understand all that. But if you're a coach, the kid made one mistake in regular play. It cost you a touchdown. You don't want the kid to make another mistake in overtime. You got to go over to this kid and say something to him. I don't know if if any coach went over there and said something to him. If you get the opportunity to catch the ball, either
that's fair catch.
Make the catch or get away from the ball if you have any thought that you're going to have a problem catching this ball. Don't even come close to it. Don't even make a move to it, being what happened earlier in the game.
Well, now here's my question. If you say that, Jerry, if you say that to the guy, and
right.
then he, you know, doesn't make a play or he has a real opportunity to make a play, but then he doesn't that shake his confidence even further?
No.
I mean, there's even talk about some people wanting the 49ers to trade him, get rid of him, cut him.
You know, he's a good player.
Rookie, taxi squad player, so it's not costing him a lot of money. But, you know, is that something that is warranted because he made these mistakes?
He's a big play waiting to happen. But let me put it this way. Now, you don't think this kid, and if I'm not mistaken, after that play, I think he may have done something shaky after that play, but I can't recall it, after he made the first play when it hit his knee. You don't think this kid has thoughts in his head after the first play he made when it hit his knee? That any time that he got back there, that whole bunch of whatever is running through his mind when the ball's coming to him. So why even put ball and run with the ball into the equation? I know this kid is got some speed and can make some good plays. He had a good decent run back in the game one time, but this is overtime. This is do or die. The Giants had the ball. They gave it up because the defense stopped them. You just want the ball for an opportunity to get down the field. All you should tell this kid is, I don't care what happens. I don't care what you may think you may see. I have a lot of confidence in you, but we need the ball. So all you need to do is make sure you can catch the ball. If you can't catch it, get away from it. We just need the ball. That's it. I mean, hindsight is 20/20. But if it was me, I would have, because of what happened in this game, and he's a rookie, all we need for you to do is just catch the ball or get away from it if you don't have a possibility of fielding. That's it, because the game is so close, and I think I had talked about this before last week. The game is so close, and they're going to play so close to the vest, both these teams, it's going to hinge on a turnover. And that's exactly what happened. The Giants didn't do anything to kill themselves. The 49ers, 10 points. Yes. I'm so pissed at this, I can't believe it. 10 points they actually gave the Giants. I mean, the Giants had to capitalize on them. But 10 points they gave Giants the perfect position in field position to get 10 points. And the last 3 points was a gimme. So,
Well, Jerry, I got to say this, though. I got to say this because I feel your blood pressure starting to get up.
Oh, you don't know, man. You have no idea.
As I said when we started the show, I felt the two best teams lost their games last Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
And the second best teams of each conference are in the championship. I think the 49ers, they need to use Michael Crabtree. Like you said, one reception to a wide receiver. Okay, I understand the triple tight end set. I understand all these other things. I got it. But at the same time, if you're going to have Alex Smith, don't just let him manage the game a little bit. Now, they play solid defense. They play solid defense, okay? There's no doubt about it. I think the 49ers are going to be just like the Ravens were once they hired his brother, the other Harbaugh. You know, people thought, okay, well, first year it was a fluke. You had a rookie quarterback. Then the second year they did well. Then the third year they did well. Or they did okay. And the fourth year they went to the championship again. So, you know, that's 2 years out of four that they've been to the AFC championship. I think the San Francisco 49ers are for real. And I believe you and a few other people stated that the West is going to become for real in a year or two. NFC West is going to become for real in a year or two. So this isn't the last we're going to see of them. I just know that it should have been a Super Bowl appearance. And I think Jim Harbaugh should get Coach of the Year.
No doubt.
I really think so. I really think so for the job he's done with a team that people just didn't believe in and said that that Stanford offense wouldn't work in the NFL. Well, it worked pretty good. It worked pretty good. And this just goes to show, I'm going to throw this out there, this just goes to show that style of offense can make any quarterback look good. Not saying Andrew Luck isn't that good. I'm just saying
You know I don't like Andrew Luck, so.
Well,
we'll see what happens.
We're not GMs, even though if I were a GM, I would trade out of that position because it's going to cost too much money, and I'd pick up a couple other quarterbacks. But before we get to the draft stuff, I got to go to the other game, and then we're going to tackle the draft with the Kyle Shanahan and Brandon Wheaton thing, as well as a few other situations with Peyton Manning and Mr. Irsay as well. We got Mo back on the line. So let's get back to Baltimore and New England. I know Mo has something
really
to say on that. So.
This game is really?
I start crying. Don't clown
me.
If I start crying, don't clown me because I'm still hurt over this. I mean, I'm going to tell you what I was more disgusted by. How is it that you miss a chip shot? I mean, they panned over to their kicker at least three times. He wasn't even warming up. He was just, like, mentally in his head walking the sidelines. I'm like, how do you do that to Ray Lewis? How do you do that to Terrell Suggs? How do you do that to Ed Reed, you know, especially Ray and Ed, who are at the end of their career, and they had the opportunity to go into Foxborough and beat the Patriots in the playoffs, not just in the playoffs, in the AFC Championship game in Foxborough, and you miss a 32-yard chip shot field goal?
Well, let me ask you this, Mo. Do you solely blame it on the kicker?
I don't solely blame the loss on the kicker. I also, their kid they brought off from practice squad. You know, I mean, for what you see, for what happened, big players make plays. I know Terrell Owens wouldn't have dropped that football in the end zone. I know Jerry Rice wouldn't have dropped that football.
Lee Evans didn't come from the practice squad, man. Lee Evans,
oh, no, Lee Evans came
or
from,
supposedly.
Lee Evans came from what you call it?
Buffalo.
From Buffalo. Lee Evans is a beast. He's a beast. And I think the problem was that when he caught the football,
he relaxed.
He thought he had it. It was knocked out. But if you look at his body language, he relaxed as he had his 2 feet in and was letting go.
Yep.
Like he thought he had the touchdown. He was just going, just gliding through. Got his two taps in, and he thought he was done.
Yep.
And I'm like, with a play, when you talk about coming down to the line, you know, it just, oh my god.
Well,
you dream of those things as a football player.
Yeah,
and then
some
you
execute,
present it
some
with
don't.
And then you don't come through. I just don't understand that. But I put more to the field goal. It's a 32-yard chip shot. You sit that game into overtime.
I'm just waiting for my turn because I had a problem with the coaching in this game.
I was going to get to the coaching in the game as well.
But I'll let you go ahead. But
and it's
still,
in this game.
They're in Foxborough. It's 20 to 23 in Foxborough. You're playing. You know, Belichick, and you're playing freaking Brady at their home, which is like almost impossible to do. Go beat them at home and in the AFC Championship game at that. So for the game to be the way it was, I'm not complaining. They didn't get blown out. They didn't get routed. I mean, it's really very hard to go into Foxborough and play that man named Tom Brady in the playoffs.
Well.
All right.
Let the old timer get his. They have done it before. They've done it before, and they handed them an ass whooping the last time they were in Foxborough. So I expected not an ass whooping, but I expected them to beat them because they were a better team this time around than they were the last time.
And the thing about it, this is what really burned my butt.
With about three minutes left in the second quarter, the Baltimore Ravens, and I'm going to go by these plays. The Baltimore Ravens are down at the New England 3-yard line, whatever it is. No, it's not 3-yard line, 10-yard line, whatever it is. They're down there in the red zone. 4th and 1 at the New England inside their red zone. 4th and 1.
And I got a 6-6 quarterback. I know what I'm going to do, but go ahead, Jerry.
Let me put it this way. You got a running game. And you got a quarterback that can throw the ball on a very weak offense. I mean defense. Now, I'm thinking you're playing Tom Brady just like you're thinking, Mo. You're playing Tom Brady and Bill Belichick in New England. This is the playoffs. You have an opportunity to get a first down and then possibly get a touchdown. You need touchdowns to beat New England. So. In that second quarter, winding down before the first half is over, New England's getting the ball in the beginning of the second half. Go for the first down. You only have a freaking yard. You're down in your red zone, like the 10-yard line or whatever it is. Go for it. What do they do? They kick a field goal. Now, at the end of regulation, or near regulation, when they were down near the goal line, when Lee Evans dropped that pass, made it 4th and 1 again. Like I said, you're in New England playing Tom Brady and Bill Belichick in New England with an opportunity to go to the Super Bowl. 4th and 1 again. What are you doing? Why are you even kicking a field goal? I was sitting with my friends watching this game, and this is exactly the truth. I was saying the same exact thing I'm telling you guys now. Go for it. You got to be aggressive in here. You do not want to take Tom Brady at home into overtime.
You don't want to trust this kicker, and I swear to God, this is exactly what I said. I do not trust this kicker. I would not put this on this kicker. I don't care how close this is. This kicker is very inconsistent. I do not trust this kicker. And as quick as I said that, they didn't go for a fourth and one. They lined up to kick the ball. The guy missed it, and the guys I was sitting with looked at me and said, "How do you know that?" I said, "Look, I know this kicker. He's not a pressure kicker. He's been very inconsistent all year. When you're playing a team like the Patriots, especially when in New England, you got to go for it. You cannot take a team with an elite quarterback into overtime. You're down near the goal line. You only need 1 yard. This is not like you're playing San Francisco defense and trying to get 1 yard. You got a stud running back with a good offensive line. You need to go and try to get that 1 yard. Plain and simple. They didn't do it.
I agree with that. And
what happened?
Thing is Brady went and got that touchdown. He went and took that touchdown. You know, went over the top, got hit the back by Ray Lewis, and took that touchdown. Your quarterback is 6'6", 240 pounds. You go for that yard. I agree with you. You're right.
Exactly. There was two instances in that game where they could have gone for the fourth and one, and they both of them were well in. Within the red zone of the Patriots,
and they
decided to kick a field goal. I would have never done it. That's what pissed me off. That was coaching. That was not the player that was coaching.
I got you. Now, here's the deal on that. Two things I want to get to before I lose my train of thought. One, I agree with you, Jerry, but if you saw how Vince Wilfork became all world in that game,
yeah, he did.
He exploded through. He made, by himself now, he made that offensive line look like Swiss cheese, and he was a worm going through it. So,
that
I think Harbaugh.
That last series, he was sitting on the sideline, though. He was on the sideline.
Okay, but not that, the last series he was, but prior to that, he wasn't. He was just busting through the line of scrimmage, doing everything. But, with that said, that first fourth and one that you were talking about, Jerry?
Yes.
I would have taking my 6'6 quarterback, and I would have jumped over the top. I would have jumped over the top and taken my chances with Joe Flacco. Statistically, Joe Flacco outplayed Tom Brady. So
absolutely.
There's no denying that.
Absolutely.
Statistically. Okay, Joe Flacco actually had a very good game, but because Lee Evans dropped that ball and it wasn't Anquan Boldin or it wasn't Torrey Smith, or maybe even Ed Dixon or Ray Rice. You know, it's like, oh well, you know, fuck it. Excuse me. Oh well, forget it. You know, I mean, that's what I felt. You know what I'm saying?
He is human. You are human, Vic.
Shut up. But my point is this.
Yeah.
The play calling towards the end of the game and towards some of those crucial moments, I was very, very, very suspect of because they didn't even try to throw a screen pass on that last play before they brought the kicker out. They had enough time to set up a play, right? And they had a timeout.
Sure.
Set up a screen.
Sure.
Dump it off to them. Make them left, right. It didn't matter. I would trust Ray Rice. 15 seconds, they're going to go off the clock. With
right.
that one screen pass. Maybe yep. 8, maybe 9, maybe even 10 plays are going to go off with that screen play, which they hadn't run maybe but 2 or 3 times prior to that. Okay?
Sure.
And with a pass rush like that, there is a great chance that screen play could have got a touchdown. Now, the interview with Cundiff was okay. Well, you know, I take it all on my own. I was wrong. I messed up. Da 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 da. Yada yada yada. And you know, he's got to live with it. And he said he's going to use it as a learning experience for his kids. I got that. But he looked out of sorts when he came onto the field and some more stuff. So I don't know.
Yeah. Do you feel like he was even warming up? He wasn't even warming up.
But the bottom line is this. Bottom line is this. Baltimore should have won that game, should have taken more chances in, towards the end zone,
yep.
and got Bolden and Dixon, Ed Dixon, more involved, especially in the red zone. They got Petus, whatever his name is, the football. They got him a touchdown. They could have did it again. I'm going to bring in my cousin because he's been patiently waiting on the line, and we're going to see what he has to say. It sounds like he has something to say because he's a Baltimore Ravens fan as well. Mike. Welcome to what's up? Why are you laughing? As soon as I bring on
you, you must have got them greens, the ham hocks I sent your Bama butt, Slim.
Shut up, dude. Shut up.
That was unbelievable. Unbelievable. Now, I ain't really had nothing to say. I'm just trying to catch on to what you're talking about.
Oh, okay.
But I definitely heard that F-bomb, Slim.
Shut up, dog. Shut up.
He is human. He is human. And you know what? He is black.
I'm trying to tell y'all, son. He is totally forsaking the whole family thing, Joey. I don't know what's going on with him. Had to go out there to Germany and straighten that out. Until I heard that, now I'm thinking you all right.
Let's go back to the soundbite at the top of the show.
Before you move on, I just got a real quick tidbit, and it's off subject, but it always makes me think of this. You see what happened in the playoffs. You know, it's anybody's in the playoffs.
Right.
Why do we still have to deal with this BCS bullcrap?
Exactly.
The whole playoff time, I'm sitting here going like, this is what football's about.
Right.
This is what football's about. For me right now, Alabama ain't number one nothing.
Yes, they are. Shut up.
LSU ain't number two nothing. Because y'all ain't get up, line up, and play in a bracket. You didn't play in no playoffs. Because anybody could get ready, rip up,
any given
and
Sunday.
knock it in the dirt during playoffs. No one knew the Giants were going to run them. Any given Sunday, any given Saturday, any given Monday or Thursday, whatever you play. And I'm sick of it. And every year in the NFL, no one can sit here and go, hey, they're going to the Super Bowl. It's because in the playoffs, when you peak and you're in the right time, it's anybody's ball game. And anything can go down in a playoff game.
I agree with you 110%, Mo. We're going to get to that actually when we talk about the North versus South game. But hold off on those thoughts. We got a lot of stuff to cover in a little bit of time, so let me plow through this a little bit, okay?
Go ahead.
Keep it in the back of your head. At the top of the show, I played a sound by Jim Irsay, which everybody's heard thus far, and I'm going to play it again one more time for those that have not heard it. This is Jim Irsay, the owner of the Indianapolis Colts, who, by the way, has a crazy Twitter line. He talks a lot about smoking weed and getting stoned, so I don't know. All that billions of dollars... He might own some poppy seed farms or something. I don't know. But check him out at Jim Irsay on Twitter. Just check out his feed. He's kind of different. But here's what he had to say about Peyton Manning. Now, remember, I'm Jim Irsay. Jerry is Peyton Manning. We're going to have a small conversation.
The horseshoe always comes first, and I think one thing that he's always known, because he's been around it so long, is you keep it in the family. You know, you keep it. If you got a problem, you talk to each other. It's not about campaigning or anything like that.
So, Peyton, you didn't want to keep it in the family, Peyton. I mean, Peyton, I don't know, Peyton. You know, I wear these nice pinstripe suits, and I try to give you what you want. But it's time to let everybody go, Peyton. I think don't worry, Peyton. We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out.
Well,
you have anything
you want
to say, Peyton?
I'm looking at all these guys that I'm used to seeing. Jim Caldwell, he's been here for quite a while and he's gone. And the guys who brought me to the organization, Bill and Chris Polian, you got rid of them. And I'm walking around and working with the medical staff trying to do my rehab, and these guys are pretty nervous. They don't know if the chopping block is going to come down on them. So I'm a little nervous, and somebody asked me a question, and so I'm saying, like, hey, everybody's walking on eggshells out here. They don't know if they're going to be the next one to be chopped.
And I'm really worried, well, Jim. Am I going to be the next one chopped or what?
Peyton. I have a good doctor for you. He has prescription things for glaucoma. I use it quite often. But I just want you to know, Peyton, I love you. I love your family. You know, you're excellent. Don't be a politician. I know you like Obama. I like Obama, too. He did Don't Ask, Don't Tell. I'm very proud of that. But, you know, I think you should not be out there talking about family business. If I may, I might go to the Sopranos. I'm going to have to call you Big Pussy. Remember what we did to Big Pussy? Do you remember? We took him on a boat, Peyton, and we shot him, Peyton, and we dropped his body in the river. Now, Peyton, I don't want to send you down to South Florida. I don't want to send you South Florida. Now, I got a good friend in D.C. that might want you. But don't worry. Right now, you're a cope. You're a cope.
Hey, let me ask you.
Everybody else is fine.
Did he just buy
it saying... Can I be present for a second? Because I want to answer that. I won't be paid. You ain't built this. I built this. You see that stadium you had? I built this. King Cole ain't got nothing on me.
Peyton, your voice got angry.
True program. 24-hour lockdown. I throw the touchdowns around here.
Well, Peyton, you saw that. And that's why Mr. Polian is no longer here.
Well, I'm worried that everyone else that I've been associated with for so long, and I've been comfortable with, is no longer in the building. I'm worried that I may be the next one to go. And I don't know if I'm feeling pretty anxious about that right now. And I just voiced my opinion, you know? That's all I did. I just voiced my opinion.
Peyton, I understand you voiced your opinion. You know, March 8th is coming, and don't worry. Don't worry. Now, let's just, since you're uncomfortable, let's get a little comfortable. Is it hot in here? I think I gotta take my shirt off.
Wait a minute. Whoa. Slow your roll there, Mr. Irsay. You go see Jerry Sandusky. You don't go see me.
Oh, shoot. That's it.
Let me ask you something. Has he just purchased this team in the last, like, 4 or 5 years or something?
No,
he's owned this team since he's been there, right? I mean, about 10, 12 years? He drafted Manning. He was there before Manning, so he had to own for, like, 15, 20 years.
Because I'm confused as to why he would just toss out the whole mob. I'm confused by that.
He was listening to this show, and Jerry and freaking, I forgot who it was. It was Jerry and somebody else said, get rid of everything, clean house. That's what Jerry said. Mr. Irsay, I'm blaming Jerry Taylor, JT Money.
I told you it was time to clean house. It's time to clean house, and that's exactly what he's doing. These guys are getting old.
The only effective way to clean house there was just to get rid of Peyton.
Well, I'm going to say it like this. Peyton needs to be like this. Danny, what you doing now? I need a check, please. I mean, like, go to the Redskins and get your money, because Daniel Snyder will pay him. Period.
Let me tell you something. Peyton's going to get paid. If he's healthy, Peyton's going to get paid wherever he goes. So it's just a matter of they want a clean house, and when they clean house, they're going to have the team is not as going to be as competitive as it used to be. So why hold on to an aging quarterback, especially when you have a defensive-minded quarterback? He's going to be running the ball a lot more and playing stout defense versus putting the ball in the air 30 and 40 times. So,
I take Peyton Manning over 90% of the quarterbacks in the league, like right now, if he's healthy.
But the problem is this. You're going to have to
put an O-line Manning around for him, too. I'll give him an O-line.
Well, how are you going to pay him? You got to pay Peyton $35 million, $28 million on the side of the book.
I'll pay him. I will build and pay him.
Like I said in the last show, my name is McCall, and I'm with Grown Soul and Real Talk, and if Peyton Manning comes to the Washington Redskins, we will be leading the petition to occupy FedEx Field. Yeah. We will be doing that.
Well, here's the deal on that. I mean,
no daddy's going to pay you. Go, no daddy's going to pay him and sell jerseys. You know how daddy do. You know how daddy do.
We're going to be right up at it. We're going to be right up at his house in Great Falls.
I said that last week. The problem is this. The problem is this, guys. The problem is this. That with Peyton Manning's situation, is degenerative, okay? His nerve endings, if they weren't ready, you know, after the surgery took place in, what, April, and the season began, or preseason began in August and all that, I know he didn't have the same rehab team. I got that. But you can't rehab nerves. Nerves are not something, nerve endings, you can't rehab. You can try to stimulate them with all his money. He could have got, like, some type of electrical stimulation or whatever the case may be to get things done. So right now, Peyton Manning, to me, is not worth the money that he's owed. Only because if I'm dependent on him, if I'm dependent on him to lead my team and be there between 16 and 20 games in a year, I can't do it right now. And I understand Mr. Snyder or whoever gets Peyton, because he's not going to be a Colt, in my opinion, after the draft. He might get his 28 mil. He might get his 28 mil, but after the draft, Peyton Manning will not be there. I think he's going to be a draft day trade. I really think so.
No.
He can't be.
He cannot be.
They
have to make a decision on Peyton Manning by March 8th. Period.
Yeah.
I understand that.
Because of who he is, because of free agency, and he's not a free agent, but he's like, they're going to want a deal. Because they're going to be other free agent quarterbacks, and they're going to want a deal, you know, especially knowing they have the number one pick, and Luck's probably going to be that pick.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's why I'm saying after they secure whatever quarterback they want to secure, they're going to go ahead and trade him. They're not going to release him before they get the quarterback that they want, because that's just saying that's signaling.
They have no choice.
Which they need to do. But what
they have
need
no
to do
you're
is.
Not listen, you're not listening to me. They have no choice. By March 8th, they have to make a decision whether he's going to be on a roster or not. If they don't give him a roster bonus, he is released. They're going to release him. They're not going to trade him because he's not going to basically be a property of the
anybody of Colts.
Anybody.
That's what I'm trying to tell you. They're going to get some value for him. They're going to give him his money. He's going to be on the roster because the roster bonus works like this. He has to be on the roster by that date. After that date, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Mr. Irsay has already gone on record as saying, would he do the same deal knowing what he knows? And he said yes, because Peyton has earned it. Now, with this latest flare-up about their differences, maybe he might change his mind a little bit and go more business-like. But on a personal level, he's already stated that he would still do the same thing that he did when he first gave him the contract. So to me, that says they're going to pay him his 28, and he'll be on the roster. And then by the draft, if they get luck or if they do some maneuvering, whatever the case may be, that will help them decide what it is they're going to do.
There's only four teams in the NFL that can afford a Peyton Manning.
Well, that's what I'm trying to tell you. And those
only four
teams are
in
the top ten. Some of them are in the top ten, but that's what I'm telling you, though. The Colts are in a good position. And this leads me to the next topic, which is the North-South game. I've said this all year long, and a lot of you guys and a lot of pundits have said this kid is not a kid and it's too daggone late to be coming in the NFL. Brandon Weeden is a very, very, very capable quarterback. Yes, he's 28. I got that. There have been some great quarterbacks, namely Warren Moon, Joe Montana, up into their 40s and a little later. You know, even Brett Favre, he had a spurt at 40. My point is this. I would take 10 years of Brandon Weeden at a third or fourth round pick who's already mature enough and able to pick up a system and lead a team over somebody that I'm going to have to teach the NFL game to. Granted, great education, smart guy, not running the same type of offense. With the new head coach in New England, are they going to go to a power run game and let the defense do what they do and become more like the Ravens, or are they still going to try to throw the ball around and put the defense on the field 60% of the time? I don't think that's going to be the case.
You talking about Indianapolis?
Yeah, Indy's not going to do that with that new head coach.
I said this on a Thursday program. Any of these coaches, any of these defensive coordinators that are becoming head coaches, they're all going to basically subscribe to the same philosophy. Play defense and run the hell out of the ball.
Exactly.
So what's that telling you? Any of these defensive coordinators, the one in Raiders, the one in Indianapolis, and I'm trying to think who else, that are defensive-minded, are always going to play defense and run the ball. They're not going to put the ball up in the air 35, 40, 45 times.
I know.
So
that's what I'm saying.
I'll be honest with you. You can't put the ball in the air 35, 40 times. It took Peyton Manning to be able to do that because he's Peyton Manning.
Well,
he can do it because he's Peyton Manning. And Peyton Manning understands he can read defense better than any other quarterback in the league. So he can put the ball up in the air 35, 40 times. If you don't have that caliber quarterback, you can't do it.
Right.
You know, and that's why you don't ever see most other teams not doing it. I mean, you see it with Breeze. Breeze has that ability.
Well, that's what I'm telling. That's what I'm saying with Urch, you know, bringing in a defensive coordinator that has high praises from Ray Lewis and everybody he's been around, you know, they're going to change the philosophy of that team. Yes,
no doubt.
What they're going to do is they're going to bring in, I'm thinking, if they trade out of that top spot to a team such as the Redskins, who back when LeVar Arrington and Chris Samuels went 1-2, who gave up an entire draft to get a first and second pick, they're in a rebuilding stage. So it only makes sense that the Colts trade away that first pick to get other draft picks and go down in the draft and get a quarterback that will suit the new philosophy of the NFL, of their franchise.
I have to disagree with that.
New England would do it. If they didn't have Tom Brady and had another quarterback, if they were in that position, New England would do it. They will trade out and get, like, you know, a ton of picks for them and rebuild that way. It's all about philosophy of football. What is it? And you have to understand and know, if he's cleaning house, what's their philosophy of football going to be? Because right now their philosophy of football is we got one man by himself, one pillow, one blanket.
Right.
You know,
right.
We want to go night-night, Peyton Manning. That's what they had. And they built the whole team around his philosophy of football. Patriots, you know, did that.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Are you in your quoting movie mode today?
I'm making a film. You know I hack it. I'm making a movie. So I just been going all day long.
Okay. Okay. Well, we gotta move on. I'm gonna let Jerry say what he got to say, and if Michael, you want to jump in, you can jump in. But I'm gonna move on in a minute.
Good.
So go ahead, Jerry. Say what you got to say.
They're going to clean house. They're going to lay the foundation by getting a supposedly franchise quarterback first. Because other than Peyton Manning, they have other decisions to make on the offensive and defensive line, including in wide receiver position. So, and all those guys are older guys and may not, more than likely, won't fit the philosophy of the new head coach. He wants bigger and stronger guys on both sides of the ball, quite naturally younger guys and cheaper guys. So you have Peyton Manning there with an aging team. That ain't happening. They're gonna say Peyton, bye bye. You can get your deal wherever you can get your deal. You know what we're gonna do? We're gonna go try to get our franchise quarterback, be it Andrew Luck or RG3 or whoever. That's how I feel about it, and I think that's what's gonna happen. I think come March 8th, it's either get paid or released, one or the other.
Well, just pretend this is a softer, kinder voice.
I want winners.
But I want winners.
You're not going to get winners. You're not going to get winners next year if you keep Peyton and have nobody else. Guaranteed. You'll have six wins versus two.
Well, okay. Mike, you got anything you want to say on this before I switch gears a little bit?
I'm good. Go ahead.
All right, speaking of getting paid, before this guy got injured, he was on pace to be the next Marshall Faulk. Here's Matt Forte at the Pro Bowl talking about getting franchise, getting a franchise tag put on him by the Chicago Bears.
A lot of teams, you know, franchise a guy just to keep him from going to free agency, and, you know, they work out a deal from there. But hopefully if that happens, that we can work out a deal. Even though you're franchise, you can still work out a deal. So hopefully that can happen.
Ladies and gentlemen, I submit to you that the Chicago Bears have already told Matt Forte, we're going to franchise you, bruh. And we're going to work something out. Now, the question is this. If they franchise him, do you guys think Matt Forte can work out a deal with the Bears, or do you think he can get more money going to a different team? I'm going to start Michael, Moe, than Jerry.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, running back, it's kind of harder for running backs, man. I don't know. I think, from the trend that's been happening, you're going to get more money, you know, running for the team that you came in. There's not too many teams that in the recent past that have like left one organization and went to another. I mean, if you guys can point out one, I can't remember one.
Okay.
Michael Turner.
Michael Turner. Michael Turner. That's a good one.
Yeah, Michael Turner. But they had two running backs. They were, you know, at the time, and then they had more running backs coming in. I mean, they had because he came from San Diego, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
They had LT. They had Michael Turner. They was bringing in Sproles at the time.
Yeah.
That's just like one. You got another one? That's what I'm saying. And you may make more money running for the team that you with. I don't know. I mean, is there another team out there that would pay him that much? You know, the kind of money he's talking about. I mean, why would you if you're in an organization, you know, in that position? Why would you? You could just draft the running back anyway.
But here's the deal with that. You're not just with the Bears, but you're in a Mike Martz system. So, I mean, Forte is so versatile, and he gives Cutler the ability to, you know, operate that system. And it's a very complicated system. You need a versatile running back like Forte or someone like Marshall Faulk to, you know, operate in that system. So he is a rare breed type of running back. But you're better off taking your franchise tag and trying to hammer out a deal, because the market for running backs are so far few in between. They're not getting the dollars that they used to because, A, running backs aren't as durable. B, they're a two running back system. You have to go into the league with two starting running backs. There's no me handing you the ball 40 times a game and you lasting 16 games. It does not happen anymore. You know, and also they don't build backs like Bo Jackson anymore. So you're not 6'3" and, you know, run a 4.2 and, you know, be able to take that kind of abuse. So I think you're better off taking your franchise tag. The franchise money is still a lot of money. You know, that tag's still a lot of money for 1 year worth of work. And try to get your agent to hammer out a deal and stay with that squad, because I think Chicago is maybe one or two players away from making a serious run for a Super Bowl run, if, you know, as they continue to grow. So I would do that.
All right.
What I heard from that is if they franchise me, I won't be too happy. That's what I heard from that. If they franchise me, because he had talked about this before, that he wouldn't be too happy about it. He's looking for a long-term contract. And his body language and things he said over the past season about his contract. In my opinion, the Chicago Bears are the Cincinnati Bengals North, because they're a very cheap organization too. So I could see, I mean, if they franchise him, he won't be too happy. And depending on what the numbers are going to be, and like I said, Chicago's a cheap organization. He may be a one and done, as in franchise year and then out of there. There's a lot of teams that would take a double threat running back, a dynamic running back like Matt Forte. Absolutely. He's been a, up until now, he's been a pretty durable running back up until this, he just was sustained. And we'll see what happens. I just think that if he gets franchised, he won't be too happy, and he'll just play the year out and try to make a deal as a free agent next year.
Do you think he's going to play like Deshaun Jackson and just like kind of like, hell my
No.
He's made up differently than Deshaun Jackson. He's got a little bit more. He's not from the West Coast. From the left coast.
Okay? I already understand.
If you understand what I'm talking about,
I know exactly what you're talking about. I lived out there. I know.
Mr.
Yeah,
Forte
so,
has a set. Here's what I'm gonna say because we got Coffee 77 in the chat room. He says you don't even need a good running back, just someone who can block. The NFL continues to make stupid rule after stupid rule, making it so you can't defend QBs or wide receivers. Now, on this. I'm going to say that to talk about what Jerry just said, that Matt Forte, I believe he's a man's man, and he's going to handle himself accordingly. He hasn't done anything throughout the season to show me any different. If he does sign the contract, he's going to play it. I think he's going to pull an Albert Pujols. He's going to say, look, once the season begins, I don't want to talk about it.
Right.
At the end of the season, if you still want me, we'll talk about it, but then he's going to go sign someone else. Mm-hmm. I think that Matt Forte will benefit greatly from Mike Martz leaving the Chicago Bears, even though Mike Martz's system made Matt Forte a household name.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, will that help Jay Cutler as well? Yeah. Jay Cutler shouldn't be killed all the time, but we don't know that. But Matt Forte is a player who can he's a five-tool player, just like in basketball or baseball, five-tool player. You know, he can run, he can catch, he can block, he can...
Thurman Thomas is his generation.
Okay, Thurman Thomas, there you go. He's the Thurman Thomas of this generation. Hopefully he gets a Super Bowl or whatever, not for the Redskins, but hopefully he does. But he's a all-around player that went to a small school and is turning up big. I honestly feel as though that a player such as Matt Forte deserves whatever price he's asking, because he was, 65% of the Chicago Bears' offense.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
He touched the ball just as much as Jay Cutler did.
Yep.
Either running or receiving. You know,
and his receiving game is insane. He reminds me of Marshall Faulk. He's like...
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what Mike Martz turned him into, but in the process... But in the process, he got Jay Cutler jacked up, because Jay Cutler isn't Kurt Warner.
Yeah, because that type of system has a tendency to leave the quarterback very vulnerable against the defense. So.
And the difference was...
Because everybody's out. Everybody's trying to catch a pass.
Yeah, the difference was with the Rams had Orlando Pace. You weren't getting, when Orlando Pace was in his prime, you weren't getting around him. You know, that was
well,
a big difference with
that's true, but they don't have that left in. And Coffee just mentioned something like that. He says that the Vikings is playing the same division as the Bears. You would think the Bears would have learned that Mike Tice is incompetent when it comes to running offense. What a terrible mistake to make him offensive coordinator. Now, Mike Tice is the offensive coordinator. He was the offensive line coach. Didn't have much. But the fact that they didn't draft him a stellar left tackle to protect that blind side like Orlando Pace did for Kurt Warner, you know, it speaks volumes. And I'm glad you brought that up, Coffee. Hopefully, I'm saying your name right.
Well, let me pose this out there real quick, Vic. Now, when Matt Forte got hurt, another running back jumped in his spot and didn't disappoint when he jumped in his spot. So
except he fumbled against Tim Tebow.
What's to say that the running back, you know what I'm talking about, Khalil Bell, with more opportunity, can excel in the running back position, and they let Matt Forte walk and have Khalil Bell at a cheaper rate?
No, they want to get something from Matt Forte. They drafted him. Of course, they're getting him cheap now.
Mm-hmm.
They got him cheap now because he wasn't a high draft pick.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think you want to take the chance of him going to another team that could, that you could possibly end up playing twice a year or something like that. I mean, to be honest, your boy in Detroit, I think his career is done because I think that was his ninth concussion since college. And all it takes is for Matt Forte to go to Detroit and do the same damn thing, but better, with more tools, with Megatron. And all, so I wouldn't take that chance, especially when you know a team in your division might need a strong, durable, and established running back, and has the money to pay him. So I wouldn't take that chance.
Well,
I just would.
It really won't make a difference who the running back is. Come fantasy year next year. And when we draft him, I'll just draft just I drafted this past year and take one of those championships away from you, whatever. So
hey, congratulations on your win, but just remember the sun shines on every dog's ass now and again. Just remember that.
And my
love you.
And the sun is shining out here on my ass. It feels pretty good.
Okay. It's okay, because I'm going to take that money when we bet again. So,
wait a second. Let me ask you this. Since we're talking contracts, and since we're looking at this, my question is, now, from a player's aspect, I think the way the teams have been treating players or been caring, and some players will go along and try to do the right things. I want to be the right player and do right for the team and still get screwed. But if you got Drew Rosenhaus as your agent, and you hold out, and you go crazy, and you go ape, or whatever like that, you get your money.
You're a bad person.
You're a bad person. You get your money. You get your money.
But
the reason why Drew has 95 clients, 105 clients, because Drew gets you paid. That's just the bottom line.
Okay.
Hold on.
Before we get to Drew, we're going to talk about Drew, but I want to talk about Belichick, too. But since you brought it up, I want to ask the question. Now, I don't know if you guys read the article that's coming up in GQ about Terrell Owens. Terrell blames Drew Rosenhaus for putting him in contact with the people that Drew vouched for that swindled him out of, I believe it was $40 million in investment that Drew Rosenhaus said, these are my guys, you can trust them, and they have never done me wrong. Now, I like Drew Rosenhaus too, but Drew, I mean, you take care of your players when they're on top or when they're trying to get back on top. But now, T.O. doesn't have an agent. He doesn't have anything. He's a part owner in an Arena Football League 3, and he sold tickets for him, but he's going to play in Arena Football. A possible Hall of Famer reduced to play in Arena Football. I mean, I don't get that. I know Jeff Garcia went to the UFL and all that, but the UFL don't even want Terrell. So that says a lot to me. I know he's 38. But when you have people like Drew Rosenhaus that are supposed to look out for you, and we talked about this was a topic on one of our shows, how, you know, the agents and stuff like that are supposed to take care of their players. We asked Lee Steinberg when he came on the show how he would take care of his players once they ended, their career.
Lee and Drew are two different caliber human beings. I want you to understand that. First by age and generation. Lee is an old school, he's one of the first agents, He is a different caliber of human being. I'm not saying anything about Drew as he's a bad person, but I do know that Drew did this originally with his first player, one of his first players, and he did this to Eric Rett. I know he did this to Eric Rett. And to this day, he can't look Eric Rett in the face. To this day, he screwed Eric Rett over money-wise and cost him a deal.
Mm-hmm.
And then Eric ended up out the league. But to this day, he will not go anywhere near Eric because he's afraid Eric's going to kill him. And Eric is like, I've made my peace with Drew. I have no problems with him. But so I've always known that, that's the caliber of person that Drew is. And as someone is, you've made a living off of Terrell. You've made millions off of Terrell. And then you also put the financial people around him. You have a fiduciary responsibility to Terrell. That's how I feel about it.
Yeah. I agree. But I mean, I just wanted to get some feedback on that real quick, but we got a lot, still a lot to cover, a little bit of time, but we keep getting sidebarred. Now, you might want to ask, what the heck does Bill Belichick have to do with the Rutgers, or the former Rutgers head coach, who's now the Tampa Bay Buccaneers head coach? Here's what Bill Belichick had to say about Greg.
Greg obviously has done a great job at Rutgers. I mean, I think he's a tremendous coach. He's done a great job with that program. And his players have been very NFL ready. Guys that come out of that program, when they get to the NFL, so most of them make it. May not be first round picks or whatever, but if they have enough talent to really to compete in the NFL, most of them end up staying.
So I know Jerry talked about this briefly on Thursday's show, where he said that, and Black made the comment that Schiano is a great recruiter, but how is he at, you know, retaining the big player and stuff like that? There was the issue, or a possible issue, of LeGarrette Blount, you know, maybe or maybe not being there next year or sharing the load next year. Do you think Greg Schiano is going to be a one-and-done coach, or is he going to pull a Bobby Petrino? Towards the end of the season, he's going up and leave and go back to college. I'm going to take it with Jerry, Mo, then Mike.
First of all, I think he's got a lot better character than Bobby Petrino, so I don't think he's going to be one and done. I don't think he's just going to bail out when the going gets too tough, and he sees, and I'm not saying Schiano is like this, but the Bobby Petrino saw that he couldn't handle professional players like he could handle college players, and it kind of frustrated him, and kind of like said, this is the wrong place for me. Schiano's been in the league before in a couple of different teams. He's dealt with professional players before. I still am surprised at this signing. I don't think he's a NFL head coach ready, but I think he'll do a better job than Bobby Petrino in being able to deal with players. It's just a matter of a trust factor with a professional player, this guy being a college coach, per se, and making the most of his success through the college ranks, coming to the pros now. And he's going to have to prove himself to the players that he's going to coach before they'll more or less follow.
Okay. Now, Michael, Mo, so I'll wait for my question for Mike. Go ahead, Mo.
Well, he has a better cast down in Tampa. He has a quarterback, Josh. It's all about, can he get their buy-in? If Harbaugh got San Francisco, he got their buy-in. You know, mm-hmm. If they could buy into the system and what they could believe and follow, and he could actually manage and handle men that are 22, 23, 24 years old with multiple millions of dollars, you know, and I'm a grown man, I'm doing my job, and you can't talk to me like I'm a college kid. If he could understand that and deal with that, then I don't expect him to be one and done, because he does have a pretty decent football team down in Tampa.
Okay. Now, Michael, a week or so ago, you said you're tired of seeing all these coaches being recycled. Well, you got a bunch of fresh faces in different places. We're talking about Greg Schiano in Tampa. You got the Broncos defense coordinator now in Oakland. You've got just a bunch of different – you got the defensive coach in Indianapolis. What are your thoughts on this hire, as well as all of the young, new, fresh faces in the NFL coaching being head coach, and none with head coaching experience, and one with no NFL experience at all?
Well, my point was, when I made that point, I was referring to the retread and the recycle before, you know, Black coaches were even considered. Now, you know, you've got a lot of new faces, and of course, and you know, you got some here and you got some there. And also, one of the things that kind of made me upset with the firing down there in Tampa. I mean, this guy really he was there, what, 2 years, really?
2 years.
And then the year before, he was, like, coach of the year, and now y'all just ousting him after that, really? I was just upset about that. So that's what really drives that comment that I made. But I don't know. How many of these new faces you talking about are black? I mean, I hate to put it. I'm not throwing
a
race card out there like that.
My question is, what does that matter? If they're black, white, red, or indifferent, it's a fresh face. So my question is, what does it matter if they're black? I mean,
it
honestly,
doesn't. I mean, it really it doesn't matter. But you do have, you know, a lot of black coaches out there that have been coaching for a long time, you know, and trying to get their shot on.
You get these
retreads before those guys get on. That's the point.
I got you. You got Ron Rivera in there, first Mexican American or Latin American head coach.
Mm-hmm.
You almost
That's
had
cool.
Norm Chow. You know, Norm Chow almost was an NFL head coach. And I mean, I got that. My question to you is, and I'm not defending or going against what you're saying, but my point is they're fresh faces in the NFL. It should not matter at this point that in my head whether or not it should be a black, white, red, or whatever coach, because the black coaches that were there and have been there, they prove that they can get the job done. Some get short leashes, some don't. But these new coaches, the fact that they're all defensive coaches is what impressed me more so than whether they were white, black, or whatever. You know, race to me, all it says is, all right, well, we still got an issue in some areas to deal with as far as race goes in athletics, but for the most part, that's getting flushed down the toilet, except when you have these little extremist groups come out and say, well, you know, he never should have been coaching, I mean, forget that. We've got plenty of coaches in football, baseball, basketball, not baseball, we got a couple in baseball, but in basketball and all these other sports where they've proven they can handle the top job. I'm looking at the qualifications of these current coaches. You know, Hugh Jackson, good job, Slim. Your mouth got you out of a job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Raheem Morris, his braggadocious behavior with his athletes, whereas they stopped responding to him, got him out of his job. Not his ability to coach, but the way he was handling his players got him out of a job. Mike Tomlin, he's going to be in Pittsburgh until it's time to retire.
Yeah,
he's going to be there forever because Pittsburgh, when they pick a coach, they've only had, what, three or four coaches
right.
ever?
Right.
You know? So it's all on the demeanor of these coaches. Hugh Jackson goes out there at a conference and says, I'm not going to let this happen again. Nope, not me. Not gonna. I mean, you know, I'm not saying play the game.
But it also, it's the ownership. It's the ownership group and who's of the head of that franchise. I mean, it's all about, you know, the owner of the group. I mean, you know that, okay, Jerry Jones, you know, I suspect if the Cowboys don't look better next year that they're going to have, you know, a new coach. Because Jerry, as a businessman, is like, I will not tolerate us doing, you know, operating this manner. Now, I don't like the recycle faces. I mean, I got Shanahan for a coach. I mean, you like
exactly.
I agree on that. Glory years. Like, sit down, bring some. I mean, you had Greg Williams here, for God's sakes. You know,
They interviewed him 8 times. They interviewed Greg Williams 8 times. Okay,
right.
It would have been a second coaching job.
Greg Williams
check this
is
out.
Not going to go for that nonsense that
I know.
Homeboy was putting down. Let me say this real quick, and then I'm going to leave it alone. You know, Vic, I am very much anti-Good Old Boy Network. Anytime that I see things that smacks of Good Old Boy Network, you know what I mean, you can sit up here and pitch it to me any kind of way you want that this guy did this and this guy did that. Bottom line, I smell and see Good Old Boy Network, and I'm going to call it. I'm going to call it. I'm going to pull it out, and I'm going to point it out every time.
Well, that's why
you
we got this
saying?
Show, baby. I mean, listen, I love you, man, and you know I love you. I love you with every being of my heart. No homo. You know what I'm saying? We're family. when people that this gets me when people sit up here and say, well, you know, is this, that, and the third, you know, what about the black, what about, I'm like, okay, can we get, I understand that people out there that still feel on both sides of the ledger that are, you know, pro-black, pro-white. I'm just a pro-freaking human being. You know, I don't want my kids, they've heard me drop the N-bomb by mistake. I don't even want them to, they already understand, without me and my wife even saying anything, about the difference between black and white. They've seen how some white kids act towards them, how some black kids act towards them, whatever case may be. But, you know, I don't even want that to be a subject matter, because I want them to focus more
right.
on white.
Right. I mean, but the statement that I made was not black or white. The last statement that I made, I'm not, you know, I'm very much anti Good Old Boy Network. And that does not mean it's got nothing to do with being black or white or anything like that. It's anti playing the game the way you want it to be played. No, man, the game is for the people to enjoy and watch and to play as well. You know what I mean? And I just don't like how some organizations get down. Now, you made reference to Mike Tomlin and the Steelers. They are class act. That
correct.
The Rooneys, they get it. They get
right.
it. They
well, it's called
get
the Rooney
it.
Rule for a reason.
Yeah, it's a Rooney Rule for a reason, and it has nothing, and it's more than just a black white thing. It's
yeah.
way more than that. You know what I mean?
It's
an ideal way of doing business
I got
with people.
It's
so
a stigma
let me show
hold on, hold on, hold on, Mo. Hold on. I want to get this out because Coffee's in the chat room and we're running low on live time here. Here's his response. He says, I don't know what he said, and I couldn't care less, to be honest. Pro sports is a business about results, and making the playoffs, at least in my book, means there's a good result. However, when your star player gets hurt, you can't be blamed when the season goes south. That's on the GM for not adding enough depth. Carson Palmer is a chump. Campbell is the single most underrated player in the NFL. Raiders were screwed the second Jason got hurt. I mean, I kind of agree with that, but I think Carson came in and did a pretty good job. But I agree with the fact that it belongs on the GMs, it belongs on management to put the team in a better position. Now, in Tampa, because that's how this all started, in Tampa, they gave a pretty good squad. They tried to get the defense a little younger. They let go some of their older veteran players. And the problem wasn't really the defense. The problem was the offense was not on the field long enough to give the defense a rest. They didn't run the ball with LeGarrette Blount. I mean, honestly, the offensive coordinator should have been fired, in my opinion. I said that all season. LeGarrette Blount is somebody you get a ball to 20, 24 times a game regardless. I know you got Josh Freeman. I know you got Aurelius Ben and you got Mike Williams. I know you got them, but they were dropping the ball a lot. And Kellen Winslow was probably the lone good spot that they had. So, you know, with Raheem Morris now with the Redskins as the defensive backs coach, I mean, if we're taking a push, I can see him moving up in the organization and being a freaking assistant head coach, maybe the next head coach. But it just like Coffee said, it boils down to the result, whether you win or you lose. I believe that all these coaches that did get recycled because of their win-loss record, they got in bad situations or whatever, they got fired. But nevertheless, I'm glad we got these new faces. We've got 90 seconds left of live air, so I'm going to do this real quick. Catch us tomorrow, Sunday, Master Plan with Jerry, 10 a.m. Then on Tuesday, we've got Kim Fun, Mindful Meditation. I mean, Compassion Dakini. I'm going to play a little soundbite in a second. On Thursdays, we have Fantasy Sports Politics Crew Show. My boys get down like nobody else. Wednesdays, you've got Grown Soul and Real Talk with my cousin, Mikhail, and his folk. They do what they do. They keep it real, 100%. They do what they want to do. Blog Talk Radio, FSP Crew, we are you. We do what we do. Everybody else, y'all can just go ahead and follow behind us because we bring ratings. Anyway, I wanted to say that real quick.
Mo, you had something you want to say. We got 30 seconds left of live air. Folks, if you want to check us out in the archives because we're going to go into overtime, come back in about 30, maybe even an hour. I don't know. We might talk a long time. Check us out every Saturday here, Blog Talk Radio, Fantasy Sports, 1 p.m. We'll see you guys later, all right? Mo, the floor is yours.
Hey, carry it home, Vic. We'll catch you over in the overtime.
All right. Well, that was it for that. We're going into overtime real quick. I got a lot of stuff to go over. We've got Eli Manning. He's focused on the Super Bowl. Real quick, guys.
Manning Eli!
I want to know from all three of you, do you think Eli Manning is going to outplay Tom Brady in the Super Bowl? And has he put himself up there in the status of his brother and Tom Brady? So let's go, Mo, Mike, and Jerry.
I actually asked this question to my wife at Walmart yesterday. That's so funny. I'm looking at it like this. You have a repeat of Eli's first Super Bowl. If Eli goes in and beats Tom Brady in another Super Bowl, not just any other quarterback, but he's beating Sheriff Brady. I mean, where does that really close him in the talks of quarterbacks? You know, I mean, he would have two Super Bowls ahead of his brother, and I think his brother is one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. So I'm really kind of excited about this. I mean, like, I really, you know, I'm rooting for the Giants. I like to see, you know, Eli get, you know, have two Super Bowls on his belt. And I think it will make him, you know, you have to put him in discussions with one of the elite quarterbacks. You have to if he wins the Super Bowl. I just can't see how you're not, because as you know, Eli basically has had games this year where he has been spectacular, and he's had games this year where he's, like, screwed the pooch, and the defense is kind of carrying. But when he catches fire and this team plays on all cylinders, they are almost very, 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 very hard to beat. So I don't think he has his brother. I always said this. I think Eli is more physically gifted than Peyton. He is more physically gifted quarterback than Peyton. Peyton's IQ and knowledge of football and his work ethic trumps every other quarterback in the league.
Right.
So that's what makes Peyton Peyton. Now, if Eli had Peyton's work ethic, and I'm not saying Eli doesn't have an outstanding work ethic, he just doesn't have Peyton's work ethic, you know, and he doesn't have Peyton's football IQ, but he's more physically gifted than Peyton is. I mean, yeah, you know, he has better pocket presence, better footwork, he has a stronger arm, you know, he's just more physically gifted. But if he wins the Super Bowl, I think you have to put him side by side with his brother at this point.
Okay, Mike?
I don't like Eli. I'm sorry. I don't like him. I mean, you know what, though? If he wins the Super Bowl, you're going to have to give him that respect. You're going to have to give him that respect because he will be a quarterback with two rings, currently playing in the league, and he's still under 35. So, yeah, you would definitely have to have him in talks with elite status. I just don't think that Eli is the kind of quarterback that can consistently carry the team on his back and win the game. I do not believe that. I do not believe in that. However, I will not be rooting for the Giants. I will not be rooting for the Giants. I will be rooting for the Patriots. Even though my beloved Redskins did whoop up on them Giants twice, beat them down, you know what I mean? And to make those two wins look that much pretty. But, no, I'm not down with them this year. I'm looking for the Patriots to get some get back. And I'm thinking them dudes are salivating to get it back at them.
Okay. Jerry.
I'm not a fan, like I said, of either one of these teams, but I got to give Eli props. He's
far exceeded what they thought he could be as a quarterback. In my opinion, he is definitely elite, and an elite quarterback. I think he's got, in fact, I think he's got the record, excuse me, this year in the fourth quarter of throwing touchdowns or comebacks in the fourth quarter, gives me a tendency to put him in elite status if he can do that week in and week out on a consistent basis, which he has this year. He wins another second Super Bowl. I mean, he's taken his team to a second Super Bowl. So, for the most part, they've been relying on Eli for about half the season, going down the stretch when it counted the most. So, I would definitely have to put him as an elite status type quarterback. Even though I say that grudgingly because I'm not a Giants fan. That's basically what I have to say about that.
All right. Well, I'm not going to say much about Eli except that I think that Eli has done a real good job this year. I, too, will be rooting for the Patriots only because I think they're going to win. And Brady, he told Bob Kraft at the end of last week's game, in 2 weeks, I will not play this bad. So I think Brady's going out with something to prove. But let's hear how Eli's being focused for the Super Bowl.
The important thing when you play in big games like a Super Bowl is, you know, don't let you know, the fact that it is a big game make you think about other things. You got to kind of keep it simple in a sense that, hey, this is a great opportunity for this team, for this organization to win a championship.
So Eli is focused. He's ready to go. There's nothing to stop him. Unfortunately, I think he's going to fold. I honestly think he's going to fold in this game. I think what's going to happen is Vince Wilfork is going to be all world again. And when Vince Wilfork decides to be all world, that defense is 20 times better than what it was. So, I'm just looking for a real good game. If I were a betting man, which everybody knows I am, I'm picking the Patriots. And since Jerry's on the opposite side of that, I smell.
I told you in the beginning of this show that I don't like either one of these teams. I can't stand either one of these teams. I'm not a fan. I told you I may not even watch the Super Bowl. Because of these two teams. And that's how much I dislike both of these teams. So,
Well, let me ask you this. We're talking about Eli, but how about Tom? If Tom wins this Super Bowl, where does that put Tom?
I'm talking about all time. I know. Listen, I'm about to tell you. He would have more rings than Montana. If I'm not mistaken, I think Montana has three.
Montana has four.
Okay, so that tie with Montana.
Mm-hmm.
In this passing situation, without the same weapons, because remember Montana had Rice and Taylor, and then Rice and whoever.
The same team for a decade. Montana had the same team for a decade.
I would put him just above Montana.
That's why it ain't happening. The Montana was clear and above, a way better quarterback than Tom Brady, and he had to deal with different defensive packages versus what they're dealing with now.
Wait a second.
The offense is more geared for the offensive player now than it was back then. The defense had it could do more things and with the wide receivers down the field when Montana was playing versus what Tom Brady is dealing with now. So there's no way. Joe Montana was, if you watch Joe Montana play throughout his years, he was clear and above the best quarterback that has played the game, without a doubt.
I will say this. I like to do the comparisons too. And, you know, Victor and I came up in the generation where, like, you know, Joe Montana was God, and, you know, But the thing was, there was no free agency. These guys had the same squad for like a decade. So I mean, it's just like your college football team or your high school football team. By the time you're seniors, it's like we know what we're doing. I know what Vic's gonna do. I know what you're gonna do. I know. I mean, we know each other. We're playing together since we're a bit Pop Warner. You know, same thing we was playing semi, but we know each other. We're playing together since we're in Pop Warner. So it's a different. It's different because A, Brady has to deal with free agency. They have to deal with a new squad every year. And Terrell Owens would be a defensive end back in Montana days, where instead of a receiver, they're bigger, stronger, faster. They're bigger, stronger, faster. You know what I mean? You got D linemen that are freaking running 4.5s. You got D line. It's a different football game. So that's where I'm really like, yeah, Montana is one of the greatest. He is the greatest at this point. But if Brady wins this, and Brady is still playing, he still has 5 or 10 more years, at least about 5 or 6 more years to go. Where does that really put him? Is Montana really better?
Yes. For the simple fact, the rules of the game were a lot different than they are now. I keep stressing.
Well, let me ask you this.
It's more geared to the offense than it was. It has ever been. That's why.
Okay.
It's a quarterback's driven league right now. Those back when Montana was, it was just the beginning of quarterbacks really coming out and throwing the ball.
Over.
I mean, the West Coast offense was an innovative offense, and still the defense had a lot of advantages against the offensive players when they were first this year.
Guys, okay. I want to get off of this, but I'm going to end it with this. Based upon what Jerry said, neither one of them is the best all time. Fran Tarkenton is, and based upon what Jerry said, Fran Tarkenton threw for like, what, 3,000-4,000 yards, and he ran like 15, 16 touchdowns in the barbaric age of football. So based upon what you just said, Jerry, Fran Tarkenton would be considered the best of all time.
Tell me how many Super Bowls Fran Tarkenton won doing all that.
Well, we ain't talking about Super Bowls. We're talking about all-time
best quarterback.
Quarterbacks are judged on winning Super Bowls. If a quarterback hasn't won a Super Bowl, he's not considered a big-time quarterback for the most part.
If Brady gets two more, then where does that put him?
Okay. All right, well, check this out. This is going to be a topic for next week or something like that, because I got to get going here, guys.
Right, get the next one.
But this is a very, very good topic, and too bad it came in overtime. But let's get it done. I mean, Super Bowl's come up. We'll talk about that Super Bowl week. I mean, thanks for the idea, Mo and Jerry. I can see you two are going to debate strongly on this.
Oh, yeah.
I'm coming with Sam, baby. I'll just let you know.
Oh, Lord. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I got another soundbite here before we get ready to close the show. My man, your man, and about 15 other ladies' man was back on the links. He was back on the links, and right now, the soundbite I'm about to play is a couple days old, but Tiger Woods is currently tied on top of the leaderboard in the DeVry Classic. Here's Tiger Woods about being back on the links.
That was a good ball striking round. I had a hard time reading the greens out there. The greens are pretty grainy, and I just had a hard time getting a feel for it. Towards the end, I hit some really good putts, but overall, I got fooled a lot on my read.
So, Tiger, this was on Thursday when I pulled it. Tiger has fixed those issues, and he's balding. He's looking more and more like he's an older guy. He's not getting any. Well, I don't know if he's getting any bootay. His wife demolished.
The reason why he got a better feel was he got a better feel at night.
Oh Lord! His ex-wife demolished a $12 million home because of termites.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
real quick, give me your thoughts on Tiger and the state of golf. Does the state, does golf need, and I know what half you guys are going to say, but I just want to hear it from you. Does golf need Tiger Woods in order to be relevant in the United States public eye again?
I'm going to
go Michael.
Right.
Well, can I say who? Calm
go ahead,
down.
Go ahead, just say, go ahead. My bad.
Can
my
I
bad.
Get Michael? No, then Jerry. Good God.
I'm surprised. They still play golf?
Well.
They do? Oh, because when Tiger wasn't playing, I thought they all just stopped playing golf. I thought they stopped. But I guess, you know, now Tiger's playing, you know, they golf, yes. So, yes, golf needs Tiger Woods, and they need Tiger Woods to be successful in order for it to be as relevant as it was three or four years ago when he was winning and pulling all the endorsements and stuff. Definitely, they definitely need him. I mean, they don't. I don't even see another golfer that'll be able to draw as much as Tiger. Draw or polarize or whatever you want to call it. No, they need him. They need him, and they need to act like they do.
I mean, well, I'll save mine for last. Good points. Go ahead, Mo.
Phil Mickelson is as exciting as watching fat strippers. I mean, is
this... Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I mean, really, is there a purpose for this? Like, this is an oxymoron. So, I mean, yes, mm-hmm. as I said before, I didn't mean to jump the gun. I'm sorry. But that damn right had to come out. You're damn right. Golf needs Tiger Woods. Golf needs Tiger Woods. Like, you know.
A fat kid knee cake.
Yeah, like a fat kid knee cake. I'm telling you, there is no interest for the outside public who are not golfers to be involved in golf without Tiger Woods. You know, I mean, you're better off going to just watch a fat woman strip. It's just, I mean, it's without him.
Some people like big girls, boy.
Hey, big girls need love
too.
Not me. Not in the strip club. They are not eye candy.
Right.
So here we go. I'm glad to see he's back. I'm glad to see him focus. I'm glad to get a lot of his personal BS out of his game, Dylan, i.e. his caddy, i.e.
Yeah.
wifey, i.e. I'm Captain Ding Dong and I got to stroke everything. I mean, he's a human being. We're all going to go through things. And you're one of the wealthiest human beings on this earth, and you're under 40 years old, yeah, you're going to get a little. Matter of fact, more than a little. You're going to get a whole lot of little, because you're one of the wealthiest people on this earth. And you're famous.
I think he's part of No Ma'am.
Huh?
I think he's a part of No Ma'am.
And if he's a part of No Ma'am, Woe Bundy. God bless you. So,
Woe Bundy.
So I'm happy to see him focus, because I believe that he is one of the most dominating figures in sports. And for golf to be successful, they need him to be back up on his range. It's like basketball without LeBron, Wade, and Kobe. It's just like, why are we doing this? Like, you know, like, this is, you know.
Right. Okay. Well, we got to keep it moving. I appreciate your comments. To the old-timer. Come on, old-timer.
Well, people like drama. People like to see people who've gone through drama. Tiger Woods has a lot of drama. He's drawn to drawn to Tiger Woods before that. Now they're drawn to him even more because of the drama, and see if he can come back from that drama to excel like he was excelling before. Plus, Tiger Woods, from the first letter of his name to the last letter of his name, spells dollars, big dollars. So quite naturally, golf is very happy. Tiger is in better form than he was when he first came back from all this drama. So, yes, golf is better off with Tiger Woods being back as he was playing before he previously had all this drama. And I think he's going to get better as the year goes, and quite naturally, more of us are going to start watching TV again to see what Tiger can do. So,
all right. I agree with you guys. Tiger Woods is definitely needed, but we'll see what happens with him. As far as his career is going to go, can he sustain, whatever the case may be? He was a sure bet to catch the Golden Bears records before. I don't know about now, but it is what it is. Ladies and gentlemen, come to the end of the show. My name is Vic. I am your host, better known as FSP. With me I have JT, Jerry ATM Taylor. I like to call him the ATM because he likes to pay me. We've got Mikhail Moore, my cousin, Grown Soul Real Talk.
I'm proud of you. Pronounce his name.
Can I get this out without you interrupting me? Jeez.
I know he's a bit confusing the people. Call Michael, Mike, then
yep.
Mikhail. Just throwing it all out. Just throwing it all out.
Can I get it out? Can I get it out? Can I get it out before my battery run out on my phone? My cousin Mike, since you want me to go back there, Grown Soul Real Talk Wednesdays, 8 o'clock.
8:30.
Blog Talk Radio. Excuse me. 8:30 on Wednesdays. Blog Talk Radio. Grown Soul Real Talk. Check them out. Also, we got Jerry doing the Master Plan on Sunday. Thursday, FSP Crew Show, we do what we do. I want to thank my other homeboy, Mo, Mr. I Got Mo Boutte in D.C. I shouldn't say that. Didn't put it nowhere. Still married, fool.
I ain't say
on
nothing
the phone
to that.
Line
you
as well. You should put it on No Ma'am. Anyway.
You a No Ma'am, too.
Hey, my wife already know that. So,
okay.
It was what it is. But, We do what we do here on FSP, Fantasy Sports and Politics. And if you missed it, the first show Tuesday of Compassion Dakini with Kim Fun. Kim, her show is totally different from anything we do. It might appeal to you, it might not. But what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to tell Jerry, what do I do about this time, Jerry?
Well, from Mikhail, Mo, and Vic, you've been listening to
Fantasy Sports and Politics. But I'm in the show a little differently today.
Oh, thanks, man. Thanks. I appreciate that. You leave me hanging out there. I appreciate that.
I love you. Y'all need to stay on the line for this.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you missed Tuesday's show, it didn't go quite like this, but this is the way it's going to go from here on out. All right? Kim Fun, Tuesdays, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's called Compassion Dakini. Here's a message from Kim.
Today's mindfulness meditation is brought to you by It's All Good. Are you being challenged to become better, faster, smarter, quicker, or just more copies of what you see in magazines, TVs, and commercials? Are you an original piece of creation or copies of the status quo? Are you in the flow of the fantastic life or stuck in a rut? I was given a tree of life, and the word of fortune for 2012 is power. Power is the wisdom to serve for the highest good. In other words, power is not about self-sacrifice and being a martyr of misery. No, power up with the divine of compassion means you have to play, you have to live, you have to laugh, you have to learn over the willingness to risk failure. The unit of measurement of happiness is wattage. So how bright do you shine your light? This is what I know for sure. If you're listening to the show right now, then you're pretty original. You have an open mind to the spectrum of joy, the freedom to play, have fun, and live in this present moment. A free yoga class for any listeners who knows why this show is called Mindfulness Meditation. Well, mindfulness meditation means experiencing your heart, which is the real mindful presence of the here and now, moment to moment of awareness of all the wonderful blessings. Mindfulness also means being your true nature, which is living your wattage, shining your light out to the world. So what's meditation? Meditation is the ultimate medicine for your mind, the daily medication that you need every day to feel good. Here are the foundations. One, bring the awareness to your own physical body. Appreciate the inner universe from cells to organs. Real beauty lies more than skin deep. True charm lies in a grateful heart, and a true light radiate and shine from the inner confidence and compassion. Two, be in touch with feeling good. Know your energetic battery. Be grounded physically. Know when you're mentally at peace. Balance out your emotions with the humble insight. Please participate in activity that restore your light and increase your wattage. Three, meet all the challenges with creativity and positivity. Our minds can only hold one thought, one emotion at a time. Make it positive and make it powerful. Four, become one with your body, mind, and spirit. The basis of all spiritual faith is one love, one body, one world. It does not judge or criticize or complain that you have more, I have less, you are better, and I am not. No, the spirit of strength of the divine compassion is that we're all one, in unity, in oneness, in one holy and original piece of art. All that is good and godlike. This is Kim, the one and only everlasting compassion. Until next time, may you be in the light of happiness and mindful living.
All right. Real quick, Jerry, what'd you think?
Nice. That's good.
What'd you say?
What am I supposed to say, man?
I could say, I think I love her. What'd she say at? She look good? I'm in love.
She's Asian and she's here in Germany.
Oh,
and
man,
she's married.
That's not a joke. I'm in love.
What do you think, Jerry?
I think that what she's thinking makes sense. It's pretty deep what she's talking about. And I missed the her live program, but I listened to some of her program on last Tuesday. And I'm probably, if I get a chance, listen to the live program. If not, I'll definitely listen to the archive. So.
All right, cool, Boris. Now I'm gonna set you up one last time. We just lost Michael, so one last time, Jerry. What I need you to do?
Okay, from myself, Mo, Mikhail, who just left, and Vic, you've been listening to
Fantasy Sports and Politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You wanna talk smack? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking Fantasy Sports and Politics. Fantasy Sports and Politics.